I don't want to be blamed for not keeping things on time, particularly coming from the rail industry. So, right, with no further ado, I'm pleased to introduce our next presenter, Kevin Baines from Baines Simmons Limited, who's going to be talking about Just Culture and your toolkit, I believe. So over to you, Kevin.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everybody. Right, where do I start? You've had the main man, you've had lots of main men here. Now you get the monkey, having had the organ grinder, and I'm going to dance a bit for you. I'm going to talk about the reality. I want to talk about practical application. I want to talk about what we need to do, not what we all know, probably, already. We've done a piece of work in our organisation, and I need to start with saying this is not a sales pitch. You can have this. You can go and get it outside. It's free. It isn't finished. We want you to help us finish it, and we want everyone to use it if it works. And we think it does. Why did we do this piece of work? The piece of work we've done is to come up with some kind of toolkit for non-human factors experts, people who need to make just culture work. Now, I'm working from the premise that you all know what a just culture is, and maybe I'll summarise that in a moment, but it's a very fragile beastie. It's something that you have to do. It's something that if you don't do it right, it all goes pear-shaped very quickly. It's the number one killer of a safety culture. What we've done is we've taken everything that all of the people we know and love have done and just made it slightly more practical for the end user. There's a pressing need for something that's more straightforward, something that's workable, a tool set that can be used credibly and applied by non-HF specialists. For all of you who have used things like or tried to apply Professor Reason's culpability model, yeah, it works if you know where it came from and what the boxes really mean. But if you don't, it doesn't work. And it's defaulted in potentially into quite a difficult process to apply. We wanted to put something together that doesn't require extensive training, that removes or minimises variability and stands the test of any training you may have given, because people just get it. It's easy to use. It's straightforward. The outcome is the FAIR system, which is a flowchart analysis of investigation results. The best database in the world is no good if you don't investigate properly, is it? It's all about getting good data in. Reports. Yeah, I'll tell you what went wrong. It was wet. It was raining. I was tired. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the equipment. That's not an investigation, is it? That's a list of reasons of things that you think affected you. So it's all about getting to the root cause of the event. Why did this thing happen, or more importantly, nearly happen? Above all, the thing that we've come up with, we want people to just download and use, providing you tell us what you think of it and help us develop it, so that it becomes a common toolkit for us all to use. We've taken the best parts of the Hudson and Reason models, and you've all seen them, and this is just another version that we put together with Qantas. It's got the red line in the sand in the middle between acceptable and unacceptable behaviours, diminishing culpability, but it's still known in Qantas as five ways to fire yourself. Because you start from the guilty and you end with the innocent. So maybe there's some problems with that. We read left to right here, so let's have a left to right tool. So good old Patrick came up with a tool that goes left to right, line in the sand that we've added. But it's incredibly complex to use. You've got to have had training with it. So what we've put together is this flowchart. The yeses go left to right, the noes go top to bottom. And I'm told by Dr. Sarah over there that that's the way it's supposed to work. Now, this is it. You just follow it. You ask the questions. On each of these boxes on the toolkit, there are drop-downs, or there will be when we've finished it, with your help. The idea of this is you can work through this, enable you to get to the meat of the tool. With the unintended action, unintended consequences over on the left, the unintended action and unintended consequences in the middle, and the II stuff over on the right, the red stuff, the stuff that we're going to manage and probably do through appropriate disciplinary action, this stuff in here. And I say probably because there's no absolutes, are there, for anyone who's played with this stuff. What it also causes you to think about, and this is just a slide of what will be a piece of software, is to apply all the tests that we know and love. The substitution test is well known by probably all of you. Would somebody else, given the same set of circumstances, with the same competencies, have done the same thing? If so, then don't blame everybody. Change the system. We know that. So what we've done is we've just looked at everything probably most of you in this room have done or are doing. The National Patient Safety Agency, the work in the rail networks, the work in aviation, the work over in the US, in the submarine world, and we've just brought everything together in one place just to try and make it simple, straightforward, and in one place. We then go into the next part of the tool, is when you've determined culpability, what do you do about it? And we've got a management process in here of how to intervene. So what one would do is use this tool to determine where we are after an investigation, determine here exactly what type of behaviours were involved, and then go to what do we do about them. And that's all relatively straightforward, pretty simple to use. But the proof in the pudding of any just culture is the doing of it. And who does it? And when do you do it? When do you apply it, and how do you apply it? And this really, for me, is the most important part of the tool. This is a common model. We developed this back in British Airways back in the 90s, when I was working with Eddie and Sarah, and everyone else probably is in this room and has heard all this before. But this works. Why does this work? Because we're separating out the investigation, this stuff here, which is non-judgmental, is all about the why. Why did it occur? And that's done using trained investigators and some kind of repeatable input tool. Something that gets the right data into the right taxonomy. Something we can feed from. Then you put it in your database. Then it goes into the repository for the information in a structured way. And it's at that point it can be risk assessed. It's at that point we can decide what to worry about when we turn the lights out at night. And that's the key to this, is getting good data in. Now you've got the difficult decision to make about culpability. Now, this is where the FAIR system resides, and it's a decision to be made. Is there a culpability issue or is there not? It's completed, or conducted rather, by an independent group of people. Not the people who did the investigation. You want to keep them away from this decision, otherwise people won't trust them. They won't tell them everything. They'll tell them just enough. So what we're trying to do is separate them out by one big gap in the middle here from any potential disciplinary action over here. You've got existing disciplinary processes. Don't change them. Just put this between the discipline process and the investigation. So this is where FAIR resides. We would imagine, and we know that this works, is to convene an independent committee, a group of people. You might have a human factors person on there. You might have a technical specialist on there, depending on the type of event that you're investigating. You might even have a union convener on there. And if you've got a strong union or a union, you need to invite them. And they need to be part of the FAIR culture journey. Get those guys together, those people in a room, and get them to use the tool. They then apply this tool, going through this process. And they apply all of the tests, the substitution, the routine test, proportional punishment test. If they're deciding to punish someone, decide what it's going to do for you. And then go out there and interview people and see if this is a norm. Do the substitution test on other people. So the point about the FAIR tool is it's only actually filling something that's already there. A number of you probably are already doing something like this. And I hope you're doing something like this. I've only listed some of the more well-known aviation investigation toolkits there. There are many. But that is only as good as that. Now, what's this all about? What is it? A just culture's two things. And dear old Dave Marks inspired this stuff. For those of you who know him, he's just written his first book. And I urge you to read it. I've read the preamble. It looks good. He says, there's two things. We've just filled in some gaps. It's a set of beliefs, and it's a set of duties. It's things the organisation believes. And then there's things we do. It's not just about determining whether someone was to blame or not. It can't be. Because this is about proactive risk management. There has to be a model of professionalism in your organisations. What does a professional person do and what don't they do? If you don't know, you need to know, and they need to know. Otherwise, how can you be just when they haven't done that? And this is the basis of the whole FAIR tool, is that we want you to do this stuff and raise your hand, but we know you'll only do it if it's simple to do, if you trust us to do it, and we respond appropriately. Learned helplessness is the biggest reason that people don't report. Forget trust, it's that they know nothing happens when they do. That's a bit soapboxy, apologies for that, but that's just my experience of it. So, does a just culture deliver? I'll show you some interesting, some pictures, some snapshots of what we know works from some organisations that we've been working with. This is Rolls-Royce Aero Engines in the UK, 4 sites in the UK. And what's interesting is, yeah, reporting's gone up. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration of the USA, tell us it takes about 3 years to get the reporting culture the likes of which you're looking for. No, it doesn't. It takes about a minute. As long as you prove to people that something changes as a result of their reports and you won't inappropriately punish them for doing bad stuff, they'll report. As proven here, as long as your human factors training, which I think is what we're here to talk about today, is making your human factors training do something for you, and one of those things you want it to do is to deliver a set of organisational competencies, people who can and will report to you. You can have the best database in the world, but if it's reactive, it's reactive. You've got to wait for output failure and cost of losses before you're going to learn to get better. We all know that. And this is about linking FAIR culture with behaviours in the workforce, wherever they are, including management, who probably would like to tell you about something that nearly happened yesterday, but they don't think you'll respond appropriately, fairly, or at all. Now, what happened here at one of these 4 sites is this thing here, where the organisation didn't punish somebody that everybody thought they would, because he was a union convener and he was a troublemaker. They didn't punish him, because they did an investigation, they found out that it was normative, that it was a situational violation. They didn't punish him, and look what happened to reporting in between June and August of 07. So it works. We know that people look in on it and see how the organisation behaves. And if you forget everything else I've said today, that's what will make Just Culture work. You can have all the theories, you can understand all of Jim's best work, and it's fantastic, and it stands the test of time. But the reality is, do your management understand it and how to apply it? If not, you better train them. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. There's another one here at a UK military facility that was a rather dark place, according to some of the people who worked there, and they generated this reporting system. They generated it. Human factors program, error management, instruction to all of the managers. They understood the difference between being just and being blamey. This is what happened. Pretty much within 2 months, the reporting went from 0 straight up. You can see the early jump there in the first 7 weeks of the program, from 0 to 80 reports in a facility that's only got 130 people working in it, doing maintenance on a helicopter. What's interesting about that is that they've struggled to keep up with it. They've struggled as an organization to keep up with that level of reporting, because they weren't actually prepared for that level of reporting. And they're in what I call the third age of reporting. The first one is those people over there, or these things here. We need more of these to do our job. And if you succeed in fixing those, they'll tell you about the people over there who aren't doing their job. And if you solve some of those, they'll tell you about them and the things that they nearly did or do regularly. And that's the measure. And that's where they've started to get up here. And that gets difficult to fix. And to use one of Jim's models, that's when you're draining swamps instead of swatting mosquitoes. I salute you. So, another one. This is BAE Systems. They've got 700 reports in their system from having none. They had 0 reporting and less people had to report. So it does work. KLM UK relaunched and regenerated their error management program. And the key here was to teach their management team what this was about and what's in it for them. It's like a reverse Venturi. The people at the bottom, the people doing the work, they get it, they'll buy into it. The people in the boardroom, they'll buy into it. It's about loss management. It's the people in the middle, the doer management level, the people who have to make it all come together. If you don't convince them that the error management programs are worthwhile for them and that just culture means something to them and improving their world, again, we're wasting our time. And that's what KLM UK did here, is to get their managers on board their error management program. And you've got to ask yourself the question, have you done that? Qantas, now we all know Qantas. We all know they've got the best safety management system in the world, haven't they? But actually, no, they didn't. And they're still struggling with it. But since they've relaunched their program, they've started to get to what we call a third age of reporting, where people tell them about near misses. Look at the percentage of what they call low risk or near miss items in the right-hand column there. September 07 to August 08, in a year period, they got up to 6,000 reports. Why? This is their slide, not mine. This came out in our last error management conference. Increased belief in just culture principles will be followed. And that's what the FAIR tool is all about, is enabling your organisation to follow the just culture principles. It's a theory otherwise. How do I do it, most managers say to us. What do I do? Changing the fact that in their minds, things will happen. Proving to them that things happen. Best database in the world isn't going to make that happen. How you behave makes it happen. Better understanding of human factors. Non-punitive actions outside the just culture policy. And a much easier way of reporting online. This organisation had 7 different methods for reporting events, near misses, or just stuff that causes problems. They now have 1. It's digital, it's easy to use, people use it. Good investigations and results. In this case, the maintenance error decision aid tool is being used, but that's not what makes a good investigation. What makes a good investigation is having 2 investigators, one of whom is impartial from that operation entirely, is not a technical expert. That's the stuff that starts to unlock your policy, your just culture policy. BMI Airlines have a process for protecting just culture. And you've got to ask yourself the question, do you? You can have this tool, you can have training, but then you've got to protect what you've built. So, this is how they do it, and these slides will be freely available for you to look at. I've got too many slides as usual for the late slot that I was given, but I think that this will be useful reading for you. Above all, get into the middle of the iceberg. Jim, your presence is ruining me. Get into the middle of that Venturi. Go after those managers and teach them. Don't tell them. Allow them to understand what's in it for them. What is this error management stuff all about? How do we link just culture to safety? And by the way, what's safety got to do with my accountabilities? Actually, quite a lot. And that's actually quite an easy thing to fix, is going after loss management, talking to those managers in terms of their losses and making the link to safety. So the reality of being just is just that. It's what you do that will be your doing or undoing. Very quick example. One there, union leaders charge the airlines have gone back to their word, unfairly punishing pilots who voluntarily disclose problems. That's the doing of it. I guarantee that there's no formal process in this airline so that people know how to behave justly. I don't guarantee it. I'm not entirely sure. I'm guessing. Another example. I guess you've all seen this very recent example, A340. Down in the southern hemisphere, major airline in the world who has a very active safety management system, dragged the tail of this aircraft down the runway, cracked a load of frames in the back of the aircraft, actually broke the rear pressure bulkhead. There's the scar on the end of the runway, went through all the way down here, still dragging its tail when it went over the end of the localizer antenna. There's the damaged antenna. Why? Because they put the wrong load figures into the computer. Those humans, they'll get you every time, eh? What did the airline say? Is that just? I don't know. It's the doing that's your doing or your undoing. And that's what FAIR's all about, is doing it. Helping you do it repeatably in a way that's accountable, that everyone understands. Everyone understands the part they play. It's a management accountability. And it's the toe-to-toe time when a manager in your organisation doesn't behave justly. That's the time to show how seriously you take just culture. It's going toe-to-toe with that manager and saying, why are you doing this? This is what we agreed to do. Here's our toolkit for doing it. Why are you not playing the game? Play the game or go. Is that just? That's a bit blamey, isn't it? But hey, it works. You've got to show how serious you are about this stuff. Managing consistency, the primary challenge here, irrespective of output failure consequences. We know, don't we, that you're actually the primary challenge comes when you've had a bad event, dragged the tail of an aircraft down the ground, and society's perspective towards human fallibility kicks in, doesn't it? So practice it. Be ready to go to the company gates and say, this is how we deal with it. Formally record how you respond so that you can measure how you respond, so that you can look back on how you respond in terms of applying your just culture, and you can determine for yourself how just you actually are, and you can sell that back to the workforce, you can sell it to society if you need to when you face them at the company gates. It also gives you the ability for an independent review of how just you've been by your supportive regulator. Because they should care too. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. A really, really interesting presentation. Right, with no further ado, I'm going to hand over to Captain Neil Woolacott, who is ex-Air Force.